Welcome to 51 First Dates.
I'm Liza.
And I'm Kimmy.
And we are doing an experiment.
And talking about dating.
And love. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
Cheers.
Cheers. Hi, everybody. Welcome. This is 51 First Dates.
It's a podcast about dating. I'm Kimmy.
And I'm Liza.
And thank you so much for joining us. Especially thank you. I want to introduce our guest right away because she's on the line with us. My dear friend, a gem of a human being, Sarah, who's getting her MBA with me at UCLA.
Welcome. Hi. I'm excited to be here.
Thank you so much for being here.
Sarah is one of my besties at school. She is a true gem. She's also so smart, a total catch. I mean, she was the section president of my section. She's also, Liza, younger than us and just crushing life. And I'm so grateful to have you here. And I think that your date story is going to be very fun for all of our listeners to hear, especially any listeners who are out there in grad school or undergrad, honestly. If people are still, we have listeners who are in undergrad, I think.
Or anywhere in the world. I mean, basically, so what we're going to do today, as you guys know, we've had a couple recent daters retire to live their beautiful relationship life. I feel like we are going to be – like, I would like to start taking a commission on the relationships we start here on 51 First Dates because all of our daters have hashtag found love. Not that that's necessarily the point. If you're new to the podcast – oh, what if I do this spiel today, Kimmy?
I would love you to do the spiel.
Great. If you're new to the podcast, we started out with Kimmy going on – a series of first dates. It was going to be 51. She made it on 32, but she met somebody in that dating journey, and that is now her lovely boyfriend, who we lovingly refer to as date number 13. Although, actually, I think I let his name slip out in a couple episodes ago.
I think he's okay with it now.
I mean, it's his first
day,
name.
Actually, where we said his – or you all said his name, and I was like, is that allowed?
Oh, my God.
It's Gemma. Wild because his name is Tony, which is a very distinct name in terms of, like, we think of some stereotypes, you know, like, Tony Soprano, and he's not that.
He does not I can confirm he does not have a Tony Soprano vibe.
And no, but I mean, he is
Italian. My family are New Jersey Italian, so I say Tony Soprano vibes are, that's love to me.
He's a ginger.
Yes, for
it's
sure.
Love.
So yeah, then we recruited some new daters, some guest daters, and most especially Kimmy's brother Kenny, who is now in a relation from dating on the pod. We had my good friend and cousin, Katie, as a kind of regular dating correspondent who's now in a relation from the pod. So going forward, we're going to bring you guys a fun mix of people, guests who are coming in to tell us about one particular date. We're going to hear a little about their dating journey. We're going to talk a little bit, as we always do, about themes relating to, you know, the date that they went on. And then we're going to be bringing back some daters as regular daters. So you're going to hear from people that are familiar. You're going to hear from new people. We're going to continue to bring you guests. It's going to be really exciting and I think fun. And we're going to get a chance to hear a lot of really diverse perspectives. So Sarah's kicking that off for us. And yes, she's going to tell us about a date she went on. And we're going to talk all about her life and feelings.
I know. We're really, you know, excited for you because it keeps working out for everyone else who's come on the pod. So
I'm listening to this and I'm like, oh my gosh, you guys really need to start a business that is just consulting for relationships in general.
I mean,
I continue to feel like if anyone out there works for a publisher and wants to give us a book deal, I just can picture the cover, Kimmy and I are wearing blazers and our arms are crossed and we're standing back to back on the cover of our book.
I kid you not, that is exactly what I just saw in my mind.
Yes, maybe wearing turtlenecks and blazers.
Yes, I like that. There's some, you know, graphic art that with hearts and things, kind of like some of our little graphics that we have for 51 First Dates. But there are little drawings all around us with hearts and apps and a Tinder logo. And we're the thing is, we're not therapists. I don't have a particularly great relationship track record. I think that the thing is just going on the dates, which is honestly so hard to do, which we talk about all the time. And just a very quick shout out. And then, Sarah, we are going to hear about your dating life, where you're at. But thank you to all of our listeners who continue to tune in, write in the secret Facebook group about how hard it is to date or about how you've had success going on your own 51 First Dates. Thank you for following us at 51 First Dates Pod on Instagram. I almost said Twitter, but have we ever touched our Twitter? No. Please keep emailing your worst first dates to 51firstdatespod@gmail.com. And you keep tagging us in your Instagram stories, which is really lovely. And I think that makes your friends think, oh, maybe I should listen to that thing. What's that thing? What are those weird girls and 51 first dates? What a strange title for a podcast. Maybe I'll check it out. Just tell them some people ended up finding their loves from it. So I don't know. That's my spiel. Yes. Can we just hang out now?
For sure. Of course. Yeah. So I feel like obviously the way we need to start is by asking Sarah if she has a worst first date story, right?
Mm-hmm.
So can I switch the script a little and give a worst almost first date?
Yes.
Oh, completely. Yeah.
Okay. So when I first got to LA, I actually hadn't been dating at all. I had gotten out of a long-term relationship like 2 years prior and had basically just gone into hiding and had decided that it was time to start dating again. And so I actually redid my profile or had my friends redo my profile. And I started talking to this guy on Hinge, it was. And it was like really quick. We moved to texting and we set up plans to have a date. And then things just got kind of odd. He started talking about like role play really fast and like, we hadn't met, so I really was having trouble feeling out the vibe, but I just kind of had a pit about it. And so I texted him and said, it was really, you know, it was nice talking to you, but I don't really see this going anywhere. Like, that's not really what I'm here for, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But some background of this is that he actually was a student at our school, at the greater UCLA school. So we had talked about the fact that I was at business school. And so I blocked his number and about 3 days later, I'm with Kimmy.
Mm-hmm. I was there.
And he shows up to the library and just kind of like was sitting near us. He didn't end up doing anything. He didn't end up like he was creepy, but it wasn't at all like aggressive in any way. It was just kind of enough where I was like, okay, so this is happening. Like that guy, he knows I went to Anderson. And that was a little discouraging for me on the apps and was definitely the worst app experience that I've had so far.
That's creepy. So did you feel like how did he know where you were? Like, was it something where you felt like it was menacing or like a weird, gross coincidence?
I didn't think it was a coincidence. I did think it was weird and gross. He was a PhD student. He's a student at Greater UCLA. And we had chit chatted about the fact that I was at Anderson and he had never been to our business school. And so that was gotcha. Kind of the key is that he was like, oh, I've never been up there. And then,
oh, so this is like a dedicated Anderson building.
Yeah. Yes. Sorry. We have our own library. Like sometimes gotcha. Undergrads come to it and we have to kick them out. Like we have our own business school library. And
gotcha.
Yeah. So this, yes, go on, Sarah. But
yes. So he had never been to our building that was actually, you know, a fair distance from where his office was. So then when he showed up, it was this kind of, oh, he literally has never been here before. And I know that. And now he's here. So I was creeped out. I wasn't scared because
yeah,
it was a little bit of a dweeb.
Oh, that's really unfortunate and weird.
It was a bit of a turnoff from the apps for a little bit.
For yeah, sure. Especially if like this is your first time back, kind of like new back to the apps. This is like one of the first people you were chatting with.
Yes, definitely. Oof. Especially because I hadn't really been on dates before that for a while.
And he was also, it's also creepy because I was with you and yeah, he was very close to us and didn't even like do a thing to make it not, it was weird for him to sit there and it would have been less creepy if he maybe just like nodded at your words like, hi, I don't know I don't really know, but it was just bizarre because it was definitely like a thing and it was far.
Okay. So thinking back, Liza, you just said like, could it have been a coincidence? What if it was Kimmy? Like, what if he was like, oh, I talked to that girl in Anderson and she said her building was great. So I'm going to go check it out. And I just happened to be there, like just a spin. It was still enough that the optics weren't great.
Yeah. But
I don't know. It feels like weird timing too. It was like a couple days later, right?
Yes. Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like I would, if you had an awkward conversation with somebody or somebody kind of like nexted you, I feel like I would be avoiding the places they went. But also, a lot of people, and it seems like this dude might be one of them, like don't have an appropriate amount of like shame.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah.
He
And
did
me.
bring up like role play before we've even met in person, so.
Yeah, clearly like his what's appropriate filter isn't well calibrated.
Yeah, and even if it wasn't directly about finding you, what it could have been, like people are wild. It could have also been like somewhere, oh, these women who are MBAs, and I'm gonna go. It just feels all together too strange. But I think you also bring up kind of a greater point that two greater points that continue to come up in the emails we get and in the secret Facebook group. One, kind of how to navigate those guys, or it could be you could be a man or with a woman coming on to you in that way, or whatever form, how to be on an app and have some people coming at you with sexual things all the time or early on. And this was one instance, but Sarah, I know you. I know there's no way your profile was suggesting you wanted to just like bang it out a lot. Not that having cleavage or whatever should suggest that. I just think like certain people have certain like tells in their profile that are a little bit more like here for fun. I know you're not, and it's interesting that like he brought up role playing. And so many people in our secret Facebook group are always like, I keep getting guys who seem to just want sex on the apps or to like get freaky. Like there's some filter off because it's an app. And then the second thing you brought up, which is just the overall like when you dip your toes back in and it goes sour so quickly, it's so easy to not want to app date. I totally get that. So I don't know. I just think those are interesting topics that continue to come up in our group. And I don't know what to say at this point because I don't want to be encouraging people to go on dates and then have them have these shitty experiences.
Yeah, but at the same time, like I was definitely, I guess, not so excited to go on an app date, which I mean we can get into, but I essentially didn't do for many months. But I was still kind of proud of myself for at least having that conversation. Like for me, the scariness of the apps is not actually the date. It's the like everything leading up to it because that's when it's like, that to me is the work. Like, and that's where I can get really kind of turned off of apps in general. So the fact that I'd even put myself out there, like, yes, it did turn out terribly. But I kind of was proud of myself at least for taking that step, even though it didn't work. But yeah, it is kind of crazy. Like my profile is the most basic profile. I'm literally like me hiking, me with my parents. Like, what about that says, like, I want to go do freaky things with you without knowing you.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like it's really absolutely fucking blows my mind how many people get like extremely, extremely sexual messages from people online before they've met. Like, there's something about that. Oh my God, not what's the, I can't think of a word, and it's really an embarrassing one. That anonymity, I almost said ambiguity. There's something about that anonymity that it just, yeah, like Kimmy said, emboldens people to be fucking weird and let out, like, I feel like these like pubescent boy vibes, like, I want to touch your boobs. It's just like so fucking weird that people feel like that's an okay way to treat other people, even though it's like on online.
Yeah, like an AOL chat room situation. They like think they're back like
Yes.
on some secret.
Yes.
So Sarah, you told us a little bit. You mentioned a little bit that like so you had been in a 2-year relationship, right?
I was in, that was, it was 2 years prior to that. I literally didn't go on dates for 2 years. I was in a relationship for
Damn.
5 years.
Wow, okay. And was this like college into adulthood? Like when and like when did that kind of like
Yes.
start?
From like age, starting at age 19 or so. So it spanned throughout college and into the real world.
Interesting.
Yes.
Yeah. And then you took like a 2-year hiatus from dating.
Yeah. Well, it didn't, so it didn't end well and it wasn't a healthy relationship. So those are two things that should be said because I think it really did take me a full 2 years to like this is so gushy, but to like feel worthy of date, like of having that in my life and like being able to, I think I had to learn to like respect myself a little before I went out and took a chance on dating.
Totally. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. I feel like that's a common, not to devalue it in any way, but I feel like that happens more often than any of us. Like I feel very similarly about, like, I needed a couple of years of like good times in therapy between yeah. my like first relationship and my next relationship to be like exactly. a little bit of a human. Yeah. It's, yeah.
I also think it's so healthy for anyone coming out of something kind of traumatic or like not to, you know, name it that, but I'm even thinking of other friends, like to take some time, no matter what it is. I think that's very mature. It's a difficult thing to do if you're used to being in a relationship, but yeah.
Yeah, it was definitely necessary. But what happened was that then I literally didn't even know what apps were. That's not true. Not literally. But I got in the relationship when I was 19. I got out and then it was such a, I guess, mental mountain to climb of figuring out like what app dating was and how to go about it and how to not get the creeps.
And were you in Chicago when you first were single again?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. And well, oh my gosh. Okay. I have several follow-up questions. One, was there anything about like when you first got on the apps and were using them, was there anything that super surprised you?
For me, it was the time that it took, like the, not even just necessarily like the matching, but I actually had to set aside time to dedicate to matching with people and figuring out conversations. And I have this hard time talking to multiple people at once on the apps. So then I'll get a date and then it'll take me another, like, you know, 3 weeks to find somebody else to talk to. Cause I guess can't juggle my time on the apps well enough, which is an odd thing. Cause we have a lot of time management things in our lives.
No, I think that's like a very common thing. I hated that, especially with the podcast and trying to hold myself to a date a week. It was very hard. I mean, my first date with my now boyfriend, I thought I was meeting someone else because I had gotten two numbers mixed up in my phone. Like, I wasn't trying to be a jerk. I was just like, I got to get on a date. Like, I think kind of what we propose sometimes is almost unsustainable. And yeah, if you're going to invest your time, I understand, like, if you meet a cool dude, like, wanting to go back and forth and chat with him for a little bit and not just keep swiping. And it feels, mm-hmm. yeah, I hear that.
Yeah, yeah, it's weird. It's definitely hard to, like, yeah, it's funny because we do definitely, like, encourage people to keep their like, date. Oh, sorry. I just dropped something. Keep their date numbers, like, up and keep the dates popping. But I feel like I couldn't sustainably even do that. Yeah, like it's very hard to keep your, and also like to keep yourself at that level of dating and also keep yourself, like, you know, open to new people and like receptive to possibility. Like, I feel like, right. It's, yeah,
it's, wait, not easy. There one thing that has really helped me with this.
Yes.
Yeah, oh, please. Yeah.
Okay, so this is kind of silly and I've only realized it in the last month or so, but my friend suggested that I delete Instagram for separate reasons, just during the week, because I was finding it really distracting. And so I now delete my Instagram Monday through Friday, and my dating app activity is up every single one of those days, because it's like, I'm not just going to stop wandering through my phone mindlessly, so I might as well do it on the dating apps.
I love that. First of all, yeah, it's been great. Deleting Instagram, you heroes. I think I know which friend recommended it, if it's the one I'm thinking of. But like, I feel like everyone's deleting their Instagram of late, and I'm so envious. And you did it, Liza, didn't you?
Yeah, I deleted mine for like 3 weeks off my phone.
Yeah.
And now I have it back, but I try very hard to time box when I can go on it. So I can't go on it before 10 a.m. and I can't go on it after like 9 p.m.,
Oh, I like Which, that.
Yeah, because like I feel like those hours I would lose so much time and they're kind of precious, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But
I think that's a great rule for like if you do want to be on the apps more, like, yeah, just like get rid of your Instagram. Sarah, it's
totally.
Oddly productive in terms of dating.
Or you're fucking bejeweled or whatever. Like the shit I play on the subway, which I guess on the subway you know, you can't be on the apps because of service. But like, I feel like dumb things I do to pass time on my phone would be way more fun to like replace with that.
And then just in terms of dipping toes back in, I would love to chat about like business school specific dating, and we'll get to your date, but how have you found the apps in LA? Is there anything that has stuck out to you, and like, is Hinge your go-to?
Yes, Hinge is my go-to. I also have The League because I find it very manageable. Like I said, time management with these applications it's not a strength. So I use that just kind of as like, okay, this is like a small thing I can do every day to keep the momentum. Context is I wasn't on the apps in Chicago really. Like I truly just had no interest in dating. So I can't really compare it to any other place. What surprised me the most though, and it might be the settings that I have, like for preferences in terms of like education, et cetera. But I haven't been getting like actors and models and like waiters trying to be actors and models, which is kind of the stereotype that at least I was told before moving out here was like, oh, good luck in the dating scene. Everyone's going to be like, which there's nothing wrong with that if you're like a struggling actor trying to be, you know, trying to make it. But that was what I was basically told, was like, that's all you're going to get. And it hasn't been like that at all, which is a bit of a more positive spin than stalkers in the library.
And do you feel like people are interested in, I don't know, I've said this to my roommate and maybe to you too, Sarah, but I feel like, dang, like being an MBA in LA on the apps where there are a lot of influencers and like trying to be models or actor women as well, like would just like maybe help the guy looking for that kind of woman. Like, do you find that people are interested in you getting your MBA? Many women do now, but I feel like for LA, it just seems badass. If I do say so myself, Jesus Christ.
I do think it helps me, maybe even more so than just like having a normal job, because it kind of gives you insight into maybe like who I am in terms of my goals in life, which I do think helps. I also think in some ways it hurts me because it shows up as me just being in school. And I don't have that job. So people are kind of maybe don't understand that I'm also an adult woman that can act as such.
Interesting. Yeah. And did you date at all in Chicago? I know you said you weren't on the apps in Chicago, but did you like date at all or have any experience of dating there? That was probably during your break in dating, right?
Yeah. I had like very intermittent flings with people who were friends of friends, basically just random, like hooking up.
Gotcha.
I was not dating. Okay. That was few and far between.
Interesting. Even though it's a different experience, do you have any feels on Chicago versus LA in terms of like the scene of what singledom is like what, you know, the single men's are like, etc.?
I actually, this is going to be, I feel like not what most people would say, but I think it's easier in Los Angeles. Because there aren't these mass communities like there are in Chicago necessarily. Mm. Like Chicago weirdly felt like what Big Ten school did you go to? And like, that's your community of people you hang out in. And so it was somewhat insular in that way. It was really hard even on the apps to like break out and meet a stranger. Whereas in Los Angeles, I guess because it's so spread out, it really is like everyone you meet is new. You're not going to discuss, like, you're not necessarily going to be in the same circles unless you go to school with them, which we can talk about later. I found that less of a thing.
Yeah, that makes sense. LA and New York, I feel like, are similar in that they're kind of transplant cities. Like, lots of people go there. I went to school in Chicago, which is partially why I was curious. But Chicago feels like less like that to me. It feels less like a place that is, you know, flooding with people from all over the country. Like, it feels a little bit more, like you said, like kind of insular and not in a shady way. Like, I obviously like Chicago, but the vibe is different. It feels more like community centric than New York does to me.
Yeah. And in some ways that made it easier. Dating in LA easier.
Totally. Because everybody's out looking for, like, I feel like this in New York. I think New York is a really, really easy place to make friends as an adult because like everybody kind of needs them. Like, people move here and they know a couple people, but everyone's like, all right, here I am. Like, who's going to be, where are my people at? You know, like,
exactly.
And then strangely, it's like we were chatting earlier, listeners, about like what should our theme be, even though we never have a perfectly established theme. But just like these communities, it's interesting because now you're in a new community. We're in a new community at business school where the ratio is like off the charts. What is it? 70-30? What is our ratio at UCLA?
It's around 70-30.
It's wild. It's truly wild. We're like so male heavy. If I were single coming in, I would be almost like, oh, wow, this, what an opportunity to meet someone. And Sarah has met people. I don't know. I just feel like your point about LA being easier than Chicago in some ways, maybe that's like not being in school is easier than being in school because there's just so much less overlap. I don't know. I envy and don't envy people single in business school. Do you know what I mean? Like, because yes. I've seen how you've, like, had really fun things, but also it's tougher for things to end, or everything is feels incestuous. That's what
it really does. It feels kind of like, I don't know if anyone's going to relate to this, but like summer camp as a kid. I went to summer camp for 10 years, and that's exactly what it feels like, where everyone is dating everyone. And like, I would like to caveat that not all 70% of those men are single. In fact, most of them are married. So the pool actually is pretty small. Relatively. So there definitely is this community aspect that can be both really good and really bad. And I'm kind of at the point where I'm seeing it as less of an opportunity, and LA, the broader LA market, seems more of an opportunity.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I feel like this is kind of a new debate that's I've heard a lot of friends talking about, of like dating in the wild, meaning like dating people you know from your world,
mm-hmm.
versus like dating on the internet. And it's a tricky thing because there's obviously like, you know, I feel like a lot of people make the assumption that dating in the wild is better. But I think sometimes like dating within your community, dating someone who you've been trying to date someone who you've been friends with for a long time, or dating someone who you've been friends with for a long time, or dating someone from your group of friends can be so tricky.
Yeah. Sarah.
I feel like Kimmy probably has heard me talk about this 100,000 times, but I think that the barrier to entry, to use a super business schooly term, is lower for dating in your community, obviously. So for me, I was speaking earlier about how the scariest part of the apps is actually talking on the platform, not meeting in person. So you don't have to do that when you like have a friend of a friend or a classmate that you're interested in, and you can kind of like get to know them over time and build that attraction. So the buildup is always easier in my mind. However, hindsight, I have kind of found that it also has the ability to really disrupt a community, meaning like not in a terrible way, just more so in, you know, friend groups and tiptoeing around the school to see it, you know, to try to avoid people. And honestly, it's not fun at this point. And I'm kind of now at the turning point where dating on the apps and on the internet is more appealing because I do have that disconnection.
Yeah, that makes total sense.
I don't know. I feel like I'm rambling, but.
No, it makes total sense to me. I dated, my first boyfriend was like in my group of friends, and it was great while we were dating. And then when we broke up, it was fucking horrible. Like it really, really sucked. You know, like it's tricky.
Yeah, yeah, Sarah, without you, you can share as much as you want, but do you mind giving us like some sort of rundown? Because I feel like you've had you've been in like both positions of being like more in it and more not, or less in it, or that's not the right way to explain it. Yeah. Basically, you've had two business school like situationships already. And yes. I don't know if you, whatever background you would, I just have related a lot to what you've dealt with, but I wasn't in school when I was dealing with it. So when we talk, I feel very much like I remember that exact feeling. Men are so confusing. But yeah, I don't know if you would share with Lies and the listeners, whatever version you want of kind of those two things.
I'm totally open to it. And awesome. Like, as large as I hope this podcast gets, I truly hope these boys, men, I don't think they'll care. So I started actually like going on dates with one guy very early. I don't want to use their names because I just
No worries. First guy. Yeah.
So like in early October, and school started in August, so relatively early into it. And he is the nicest, sweetest man. Really, really lovely, and was, you know, took me out on dates that were really nice. And I kind of built an attraction to him. And then it started becoming more than just dating. And the interactions that we would have at school were always somewhat awkward because we weren't necessarily in the same tight friend groups. So he actually, like, we would see each other in the hallways and it would be like, do you say hi? Because what's happening is like, yeah, you're hooking up, but then your friends, like the larger community may not, like, didn't really know that. So it was this awkward, are we going to acknowledge that we're a thing or are we not? And at the end of the day, like, I guess early January, I had this realization that I was not wanting to move it into a relationship. Like, I really like him. And that's what's confusing for me. And it's still really confusing for me, is that I actually really like him, but I didn't want to be in a relationship with him. And some of it's really complicated because if this is like polarizing, I really apologize, but I'm Jewish. And like, to me, I didn't think it was important for me to date a Jewish guy. And it turned out like, oh wait, I actually do have feelings about like going into a relationship with someone. And I haven't sorted that out yet, but moving on.
That's fair to say. I feel like that's a concern for a lot of people, like when it comes to religion. You know,
and I honestly was surprised by myself, but it's the truth. And I ended that in like early January. And then a guy that I had been friends with for a while, and he's in our, I would say, tighter group of friends. I started dating or going, I went on dates with in early March. I actually don't know, maybe mid-February. And there was a lot of buildup around it because there was that community aspect of, oh, Sarah and so-and-so are going on a date. Oh my gosh. Like, it's, you know, there was a lot of kind of like weird support from especially his friends. So it got really hyped up. And we ended up going on like less than 5 dates, but it became this giant saga because it was like everyone knew about it. And it was totally from this relationship, or like this dating ship that I was in before where no one really knew, to this next one where everyone knew and were constantly asking me about it. And what ended up happening was he basically was like, he was just not as into it as maybe he had made me think and made his friends think, which is a weird concept.
I want to just jump in and give Liza and maybe some listeners, without using names, some context. There was someone I had a long time, I was in a half relationship thing with for too long, and much of that was my fault, but Liza knows this person. It was very much of that thing where, like, there was a lot of, but everything's there, but then it's not, he wasn't, like, making steps forward, but he wasn't being a giant asshole. Is that fair to say, Sarah?
Yes. Like, an example is, like, he would text me and I would text him back, like, you know, within a reasonable amount of time. And then he would just ghost for like 4 days and but ghost through text. Then we'd see each other on campus. So it's kind of this awkward, like, you can't escape this situation. So you might as well approach it head on, is the way I think of it. So at the end, what ended up happening was I basically called him out on it. And I said, you know, I'm not willing to kind of be this halfway in, halfway out. Like, I wasn't asking for a relationship, but more so just like a consistency commitment.
Consistency. Wow. What a crazy thing to want.
Yeah. And he was not willing to do that. So he was kind of like, oh, I'm really busy. Sorry. That said, I actually think he's a good, like, he isn't a bad human. He's a good human.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, sure. That's the other, I mean, I'm only sharing negatives about dating within your community because I think the positives are, like, pretty obvious. But I think that's the other negative, is that if something isn't feeling right or working right. Like, it is, I mean, I think a positive and a negative is that you can't just, like, nope on out. You have to, like, have some kind of conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And thankfully, I'm a very direct person, but I found it really challenging, too. And it's not even, like, the direct conversations. It's more so the, like, community gatherings or, like, what we have this giant courtyard at school where it's basically, like, the social hour. Like, everyone goes out there and just hangs out. And it's even just seeing these people in the courtyard, like, in the periphery, that's more difficult than sitting down and being like, hey, this isn't going forward.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Having to see them out in the wild and, like, be normal and be like, hey, how are you? Like, how's your week? Yeah.
Yeah. I'm really having a hard time, and I am not a cool girl. Like, I'm not the girl that's going to, like, walk up and, like, give a kiss on the cheek and be like, hey, how are you? And then walk
yeah.
away.
No, I'm not. I've tried to be the cool girl so many times, and it only made me in positions where, like, I became completely uncool because I was so frustrated with pretending I was cool with everything. But, like, I think
it's – I can be the cool girl when I'm sober, but
– Yeah.
Kimmy has seen this happen a lot of times, or gotten sad late-night texts from me when this happens a lot of times, where get me drunk and there is no coolness here. There is only feelings and sass.
I'm panicky woman 100% of the time.
It's just so hard when there's a history, whether it's, you know, 5 dates, but you've also been friends for this many months in this really weird intimate business school setting, or, like, you dated for 5 years. Like, any kind of history, it just – it makes it very difficult to, like – it's to just, like, move on and be totally cool as friends. Like, I've truly never been able to do that, and that makes me sad in other ways, because you lose out on these people who you're like, shit, I really like this person. But I think it's very rare that – you know, especially within this kind of community dating, everything can just go back to exactly the way it was after you go that other direction.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I think that, like, I'm excited for you to be going out on the apps, and that sounded way patronizing. Sorry. But I just mean, like,
no, it really didn't. I feel like you're my coach.
No, I don't know. It seemed like, yes, there are some couples within our grade that just kind of, like, happened right away. We've seen all the stereotypes. We've seen, like, engagements break up. We've seen everything. But I also just think there's what we just talked about, those weird high stakes to either define yourself or stay together, or be, you know, it just – it seems so complicated to date in business school, as much as, like, at the beginning of the year I was like, ooh, kind of jealous. That's cool. It just seems so complicated to me, and I feel like, yeah, it – will make LA app dating feel like, okay, well, at least the stakes are really low if this sucks. It's like
– it sounds like –
kick in the ass I needed to get out.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It sounds like Bachelor in Paradise, where you're like, there are those first-day couples. There's this. There's that. Relationships are ending. Alliances are shifting. I love it. I mean,
it's
that's
exactly
my favorite show.
Like that, except everyone stays on the island the entire
time. Yeah. No, nobody leaves.
Oh, my God. That's incredible. I love it so much. I feel like that's a great segue to move into talking about the first inaugural Sarah app date.
Yes.
But let's take a quick ad break first.
Perfect.
And then we'll come back in and hear all about Sarah's date.
Yay. And what a lovely ad break that was. We are back, me, Liza, and Sarah. We're just asking Sarah all of the questions about her dating life. We hope, you know, it's bringing you some comfort, because we're all in this together, guys and women. But now, okay, onwards and upwards. So I want you to tell us, like, the tiniest bit about this date we're going to talk about. But then Sarah, because she is a queen, recorded a before and an after impression. So not just a taxicab confession, a taxicab, oh my gosh, premonition? I don't know what another version of it would
be. It's still a taxicab confession. It's just a pre-confession.
Yeah.
It was a pre-confession. So
before we listen to that, real quick, we like to hit the bullet points. Did you meet this guy on Hinge?
Yes.
And then how long did you kind of chat before you brought it to text, before you brought it to, like, let's go out?
I think it was 2 days to text and then 4 days before we went out.
Okay. Was it, like, a lot of back and forth? Or how much back and forth, like, did it take for you to realize you were like, okay, I like this guy. He's not asking me about role playing.
It wasn't. Yeah, right. That's my level. No, it wasn't very much. It was pretty surface level. I think from my perspective, I was trying to get out there and I was just kind of like, sure. You know, I think he actually said, like, I don't know if this is super bold, because it was only like two days in that he asked. He was like, I don't know if this is super bold, but I'd love to take you out on a date. And to me, that was very attractive. I was like, okay, yes. So not a ton of like digging into who he was beforehand.
Totally.
That's my, I like, that's my MO. Like, I loved when people asked me out quickly, and I loved asking people out quickly. And if it scared them away, I was like, understandable. But I just feel like it's like, it's better to get on the date. I can't, like we said, the texting back and forth forever is so annoying.
And then Sarah, do you remember like what you liked about his profile or what kind of appealed to you and like immediately, like your online impressions?
So with Hinge, I feel like the thing that really attracts me to people is when they actually respond with some sort of conversation starter when they like me. So, I mean, his profile was great. It was like, you know, he was an active, there were pictures of him being active, which to me is like very important. Not in terms of like, you gotta be this look, but it's more so just like, I'm an active person and I like people that also want to go on a hike with me on a Saturday morning. But he started the conversation by responding to, like with a restaurant recommendation or something like that and starting a conversation. So I found that to be really attractive.
Yeah. That's such a good vibe. Just like not a like, hey, how's your day?
Yeah. Like we are not sponsored by Hinge. I feel that we should be. It's so they, when they overhauled and added all those like prompts, like it's so much more interesting to be able to comment on an individual part of someone's profile versus like, I don't know, just start a brand. I struggled with Bumble because it was like cool woman, female power, but like, I don't know what to say to you.
Like, that's where I am. So yeah, I have a really hard time on Bumble, and that's why I'm trying to stay focused, because I think I'll get discouraged if I spread myself too thin.
That's a good point too. Just like picking one or a couple and sticking to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cool. So then you're going on the date. The plans are set. Do you want to play us your pre-TCC?
Sure.
Okay. So I have a few thoughts going into the date. Because I'm driving here right now or to the date. And the first is like, I can't believe I'm driving 40 minutes to go to a 40 minute date. This is like my first LA experience of having to drive across town, not really like 7 miles total, but across town to go on a date because the guy lives on the east side. So we're basically meeting in the middle. So like that's kind of annoying, and it makes me realize like when people are joking about how they only date on the west side, like not actually joking. The second is kind of anxiety because it's a coffee date, and I've been to this coffee shop and there's plenty of seating, but it's also super busy, and it's 4 p.m. on a Thursday, so it kind of makes me think that there are really a lot of people working, and it's like what's my backup plan if I don't have a seat? Because I don't know the area that well, and I'm new to, like, L.A. in general. And then third is this, like, weird not nervousness, because I kind of feel like I'm going to a networking event. I've never done a daytime date before, and so it sort of feels like a networking event. Like, I've literally been to this coffee shop to meet with my mentor before, so it's like, am I even really setting myself up for success if I don't have that kind of like butterfly excitement? But I also really never have that butterfly excitement for app dates because I kind of am just a negative Nancy, which isn't a good attitude. So those are my thoughts.
That was perfect. No, that was so sweet. And I feel like it touches on so many things, again, that we always bring up. Like, we've been very pro, like, try a coffee date. Or coffee dates have just come up. I don't think I ever went on one. But my brother did, and he had some success. But, like, yeah, you're right. We're, like, networking all the time. That's the point of this two-year program we're doing. So I would – yeah, it would be hard to get the butterflies up. But, okay. So.
Well, also, like, I feel like how do you get butterflies for someone you've only talked to – online, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I feel like butterflies are such a, like, it's so dependent on like chemistry, you know, unless it's like the most stellar banter, the most stellar whatever.
That's true. I never actually had butterflies on one date. I just had anxiety and nerves. I just got sweaty, like
anxiety butterflies.
Yeah,
Yeah, and so okay. When I was listening to that just now, and I was like, oh, I literally knew nothing about this guy because I didn't even bring him up once.
Okay.
This scenario the entire time. But I think that has to do a lot with, like, the anxiety before a date, at least for me, is where am I going to sit?
Yeah. No, we talk about this all the time. Or, like, am I going to be there first? Like, I personally liked getting to dates first, but what coffee shop was it?
Verve.
Okay.
Verve on 3rd Street.
Okay.
Yeah. So I...
Yeah.
Okay, so when you got there, how did that turn out? Was there seating? Did you find him right away? Was there an awkward moment?
So yes to all of the above. I do mention this in, like, the post recording if you want to listen to that, but I went through, there are two entrances, and I went through the back and he went through the front. So there was, like, this whole, I'm inside, no, I'm inside, oh, we're not at the same spot. And then there wasn't seating inside. There was Shay Mitchell, which was kind of cool. And then the actress. So we went out.
So LA. Like,
so LA.
It's our first celebrity sighting on a date.
Yeah. It really was exciting. And so we ended up sitting in the back, which is basically a parking lot. But it was fine. Like, it worked out. But I will say, like, coffee shops, I didn't hate the coffee date, but the awkward part for me was the getting of the coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Standing around. It turns out he doesn't drink coffee. Which I thought was odd because he asked for a coffee date. But, like, regardless, whatever.
Sorry, I was going to ask, did you know if, does he drink? Like, alcohol?
I don't know.
Okay. Interesting. No, I'm just thinking why he would ask for a coffee date if he didn't drink coffee. But, like, there was tea.
There were some things that beforehand, and Kimmy, I don't even remember if I've told you this, but he wanted to do a dinner date for a first date. Mm-hmm. And I just personally get a lot of anxiety from that. I like, I like to be able to get out of there in an hour if I want to. Like, I want to down a drink or down a coffee and be able to get out. So I
actually
the one that was like,
that's,
do you want to do something?
So much commitment.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he was the one who was like, coffee.
Yeah. Well, I was kind of like, do you want to do something earlier that day?
Right.
Maybe trying to sabotage myself and get the whole thing canceled. He was like, oh yes, of course. Let's do coffee.
Which is actually promising that he was like, no, I want to see you. Like, he didn't just flake. He had an opportunity to flake. Like, you gave him an opportunity to flake.
Yes, he was very committed. He was. I will give him that. But yeah, so we got there and it was kind of this awkward. And at Verve, it's like the bougiest coffee shop. So they have to, like, take 20 minutes to do your pour over coffee. So we were, like, standing there waiting for the coffee and the tea. And it was this, do we start talking to each other now? Or and it just created these awkward gaps of no talking because he didn't ask me any questions, which is the greater takeaway from the entire date, is ask me any questions, which was
interesting,
challenging. So
you guys had a chunk of, like, kind of standing there, and, like, was there any conversation? Like, what was it like? Like, crickets fully? I mean,
it wasn't
some awkwardness. Okay.
We didn't go full on crickets. It was mostly like back, like, little banter back and forth, but it was honestly a fair amount of like, oh, I don't drink coffee. Oh, you don't. Okay. I'm going to get this. And then talking about the drive. That was my conversation filler that I went to. That's the most Los Angeles thing. Like, I spent the awkward silence asking about traffic on the way there. He came from the east side.
I mean, I feel like in New York, it's like, oh, like, what subway are you on? Like, oh my God, is your office off that same? Like, it's the same thing. How many times do you have to transfer? Yeah, it's like, that's the thing. It's like weather and your commute.
Yeah.
Weather, commute, where you live, what you do for work. It's like just a thing.
Yeah. So then when you guys sat down, did you feel like, was it a feeling of like, okay, now we're starting the date? Or was it, did it continue to feel kind of like, well, this is a little weird?
It was a little bit more like, now we're starting the date. And like I had a when I first met him, making this all seem really terrible, but when we first met in person, I was like, oh, he's cute. Like, you know, I could, he seems like a good person, good guy. And then there was like a little bit of banter that was fun. So I, when we finally got to sit down, it wasn't necessarily all like, oh, this is going terribly. So we, and the date immediately started with like me being like, oh, thank you so much for being accommodating. Like, I'm really happy. Like we were able to make time to meet at 4 p.m. And then it went into like a 20 minute dialogue about how he does not currently have a job. So it was like truly a networking event. Yes.
Both of you don't have full-time jobs. Yeah. You have your internship, but.
Yeah. So I feel like I'm being so negative about it, but it was just it was a bizarre kind of support group, but also like totally like I've been unemployed. Like it wasn't, that's not a deal breaker for me at all. It was the fact that it went on for like 20 minutes of the date talking
yeah. about it.
And like the first 20 minutes, like, I feel like obviously, I guess that's one of the first things you ask and talk about is like, what do you do? Like, blah, blah, blah. But it does feel like if I were, I don't know, if I were unemployed, I may drop that and then be like, but tell me about your intern, you know?
Yeah. What else about you?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the date. Sorry, I interrupted, but
no, you have the story.
Sorry.
The rest of the date was after that initial 20 minutes. Like, I'm not exaggerating when I say he asked me two questions about myself. And I think two is honestly like giving him a little bit of credit, which was odd to me because I'd never been in an interaction like that before where I was like racking my mind trying to think, okay, where is this headed? And it was odd to me because like we have a lot in common. Like he used to work in the same industry that I worked in. So when I said that, when he was like, oh, I used to work in media, and I was like, cool, me too. Like, I used to work in like digital investment. And the response to everything was, okay.
I just got the heebie-jeebies.
Okay, okay.
It's always so weird to me when there is like another adult human who you are interacting with who does not understand conversational give and take.
Right?
It's like you give someone something, they have to pick it up, give it back. It's like, dude, it just feels like you're whacking tennis balls into the ocean. Yeah. Like it's so, I don't know what that analogy is. I've never played tennis.
And then,
but like,
yeah.
Yeah. It's such a frustrating feeling to be like, I'm the only one giving anything here.
It felt very one-sided. And I was like, it felt okay. Like he's not into it. And then this is fast forwarding way too much, but he asked me out on a second date and I had to be the one to be like, I'm not interested.
This is always happening. People are like, it went so just like, they seemed so disinterested and then they came around. Like this happened to me a couple times where I was like, what? Really?
It's just,
yeah.
And men are, I guess, more confusing than I thought they would be because I take things at face value to a fair amount. So if you're giving me vibes or not, like, I'm going to assume that's the way you feel, apparently.
Well, also, and like, this is something that's come up before with various like people who have gone on dates and talked about it, is that I feel like sometimes men like never learn how to have a conversation. Like there are a lot of men who either like love talking about themselves and they don't ask a lot of questions, or they don't know how to like engage or go deeper on any topics in particular.
Yeah, it definitely seems like a combination of the two where I think in a relaxed setting, maybe he would have been able to have a conversation, but I don't actually know that he knew how to like prompt that conversation in a more formal dating set like environment, which to me, like, that's a deal breaker.
yeah
totally. It's not your job to like carry that,
yeah,
or like teach him how to do that. Yeah.
So what else do you know about him, and like, what, I don't know, obviously the interaction wasn't there, but like, was there any part, were you surprised by what he was telling you about, or did he fit kind of what his profile was like?
Yeah, he was very much like, I don't know, I don't have a better word other than on brand. But he really did, like, he was what his profile said he was, just not in the conversational department. Like, he was active. He really valued family. If you look on paper, like, he is someone that I should be attracted to, which is frustrating because it's like, okay, these people do exist, but like, if I can't have a conversation or if I can't be myself in that way, then I don't need all those things checked off, because I'd rather take someone who maybe doesn't have all the boxes, but can value a conversation. But it's,
yeah, right? Because, like, you know how to have a conversation, and yeah, like, you want to have cool conversations for your life with, or, you know, your time, yeah, with some person.
Yeah.
The on paper stuff is so hard with apps. I feel like every time on paper, I was like, yeah, it was like not there. The more boxes that were checked, the bigger red flag it was for me at a certain point. And that was just with app dating, you know.
Well, it's weird because I feel like apps, all you're going on really is on paper. It's literally – I mean, not literally, yeah, because it's on screen, but it's literally like someone wrote bullet points and put a picture of themselves. Like, what you're going on is like, is their education, their job, and their vibe, like, and their looks, like, in line with what I – the story, like, that I believe I, like, want, you know, for myself.
Yeah. And it's all very surface level.
It can be so misleading. Like, obviously, like, we all think we know what we want, but then, like, so many of the time people find, you know, the people they're supposed to be with, and it's not exactly that. Or, like, you know, sometimes it is, but it's just, you just, like, I feel like you just can't tell until you're in person with somebody.
Which is why going back to, sorry to take it back, but going back to, like, the school and community thing, you kind of get to do this, like, audit and, like, this double check of, like, oh, yeah, like, this person is this person on paper and in real life. And so I think that's why it, like, it makes it easier to kind of get into that dating habit, because you don't have any questions of, like, will they actually match what they say they are?
Totally. Yeah. And you already know if there's, like, banter, if there's, like, any kind of physical chemistry, if there's, like, you know, intellectual chemistry, like, if you guys can hang, like, shit that you just can't really tell from, like, meeting, you know, seeing someone's profile and, like, texting with them or whatever. You know, it just takes some in-person time to, like, be able to know those things.
Yeah. This is why I still, like, believe in, like, the phone dating app, like, where you have to have a little phone call together.
Was that ever a thing?
No, I feel like I invented it on this podcast. And I know nobody would actually do it, but I would have loved to, like, have some sort of screening of, like, I don't know. I guess that's not even in person, though. You really have to. Speed dating. Bring back speed dating. That was our other
truly
idea.
Well, we've had a couple of ideas on this podcast for, like, bad dating apps, because one of them was, like,
Blinder.
Like, Blinder. Like, for blind dates where, like, there's no pictures. It's literally just paper, which is a horrible idea, and no one would use it. And I feel – you know what I mean? Just, like, nobody would sign up for that. But, yeah, it's very, like – it's tricky because, you know – obviously, like, some of the way dating apps are set up, like, I think there is a lot of, like, good, you know, good things that come out of them, and a lot of, like, things that are helpful that arise from them. But also then, yeah, you can't, like, replace that, like, in-person vibe.
Yeah, definitely. But so, it's kind of a good screener.
Yeah, totally. It's a first-round interview, you know.
Yeah.
How did you end the date, Sarah? And it, or, you know, just to go back to the date a little bit.
So very awkwardly on my end, I had a meeting back at school. I was in no rush, but, like, kind of at a certain point, I realized that he was not going to ask me any questions. And I was internally annoyed. I did not show it, but I was kind of like, okay, like, I have a meeting I have to get back to. Like, it was really nice meeting you. And then he was like, let me walk you to your car. So then we hugged again at the car. Like, I gave him a hug. He was a decent human, you know, like, he's not a bad guy. But we left it very much as, like, it was nice to meet you. Not like, this was fantastic. Let's date again. And that's why I was so surprised when the next day I got a text being like, I had such a great time. Do you want to go out again next week? And then I I think nobody likes it, but I just hate sending the text messages that are like very direct. I didn't see an attraction, you know, I didn't feel like there was chemistry there. Like, I had a nice time, which I guess isn't that direct because it wasn't.
No, I think a truth with a little white lie is totally fine. Yeah, yeah. Like a little gentle, whatever. But I think that's great. I mean, so many people struggle to like be direct. And I feel like that's really admirable and cool that you were able to just be like, all right, like you're a nice person.
Yeah.
This is not the thing I would like.
And recently we've seen a lot of posts in the secret Facebook group about kind of feeling sometimes getting ghosted or feeling this like later in dating, which is unacceptable and shitty, but like getting not the response they wanted after a first date. And I know it's so hard to hear, but like maybe thinking about the way you just explained it, Sarah, like it's not like he's a bad guy. They just didn't, yeah. Sometimes you don't feel that click and it's not personal. It's just about, yeah, you two weren't a match. I don't know. I'm just thinking for some listeners who might be listening, like trying to like flip the script and remember the times that you're on that end. Because it's so hard to send the text.
It is. I've definitely been that asshole that like ghosts. I think when I went on one, I actually did go on one date in Chicago and it was kind of similar where a great guy just didn't click. And I ghosted and then I ran into him at a bar the next week and I vowed to myself that I would never ghost again.
There you go.
Oh my God. That is like Chicago feels like a small town to me sometimes. I feel like that shit happens there. Yeah. Yeah.
It really is.
Funny. All right. Should we listen to your wrap up?
Sure. Can I preface this by saying that the way that I got the date to end was that I drank all of my coffee. Verve pours you like 4 cups of coffee for one pour over. So I am a wild human in this.
Oh my God, I can't wait. I'm very excited.
Okay. So I just finished the date. And it's funny because I said like I was afraid it would be networky. It was. He's unemployed and he spent the entire time talking about like his trials and tribulations of finding a job, which is fine. Like I think at first he was trying to come off as like not a schmuck. Like he was actively looking for a job. And I was like, I respect that. But then it just kept going, and also, he asked me maybe 2 questions the entire time. We chatted for probably, like, 45, 50 minutes, and I said I have to go, because at that point, I just, like, run out of things to talk about. We talked about, like, where his family was from, and then I, without being asked, told him where my family was from. Oh, and when I told him I was from Kentucky, his response was, like, oh, the Midwest? And period. Done. It was like, that's great. Or like, bourbon, horses. It was, oh, the Midwest. So it just wasn't great and it was kind of discouraging. But on the whole, I didn't hate the whole coffee date thing. Like, if I was feeling like, I feel like I could still connect with someone and vibe, I probably wouldn't end up kissing them no matter what because I just like, might need a little bit of liquid courage to go in for a kiss on a first date. But I would, on the whole, I would go on a coffee date again, just not with this guy. But date number one.
Oh. I am like, I think one.
No, that was good. Because there was, we have to, you know, I think some of it we can cut out because you did talk about now, but the end we have to leave because the Kentucky stuff is wild when people – yeah, Sarah's from Kentucky, and that's usually a point of conversation.
That's, also like, just super like, interesting and, yeah. Sorry, go
ahead. Facial expressions to match that were not, like, wide-eyed, like, oh, the Midwest, like, the instant – it was not underlying cool interest. It was, like, almost a bit of distaste for being from Kentucky, which is not – like, I'm proud of the fact I'm from – whatever you want to call it, Midwest, South. But like, it was just such a turn off to me that you can't even do anything with that. Like we're in LA. Nobody's from like, I'm a Jew from Kentucky. I'm like a unicorn. Come on.
Yeah. That is like, it's very, very strange that like, I feel like that's kind of what first dates are is like you ask people about the more interesting things about themselves, you know?
Like, yeah, and that's... everything seems interesting. Like, even the things he were saying, even though I was annoyed he wasn't asking me questions, like, you're meeting a stranger, so mundane facts about them that they may think are, like, not cool, I was finding super cool. And that's kind of the beauty of a first date, in my opinion.
Yeah, you're kind of, like, mining for gold a little bit. Like, you're sorting through stuff and being like, oh, what's interesting? What's cool? Like, what do I have curiosity about? But to have no curiosity about anything about the other person, even things that are, like, objectively cool and interesting,
yeah,
is strange.
It was bizarre. And it was hard to – I also feel like while you're mining for those cool things, you're also looking for connection points in terms of what do you have in common. And it's
– Totally.
To find something in common if you aren't – you know, if it isn't a two-way conversation.
Totally. So moving forward, and we'll let you go soon, but just as, like, a wrap-up, do you feel like, even though this wasn't great, do you feel, like, excited about going on more app dates? Do you feel like this is something you're going to be wanting to, like, do more regularly? Or was it something where you were like, ugh, I don't like it, I need to, like, step away?
Yeah, I was oddly encouraged by it. I mean, I clearly, like, had a major adrenaline rush afterwards. Because I remember texting Kimmy and telling her about it. And she was like, I'm so sorry, it was so terrible. And I was like, I don't know. Like, I'm weirdly, like, excited about, like, the fact that I did it and I went on a date. And now it makes it easier to go on the next one.
Yeah.
So I'm totally. I'm talking to people, trying to set up dates.
Great. Fuck yeah. I mean, something that we've talked about and will definitely be a chapter in our future book where we're standing back to back on the cover is that, like, we feel like the dates are kind of, in everyone's experience that we've talked to, like, the dates are a little bit of, like, a bell curve of, like, most of them are meh and, like, a minority of them are amazing or horrible. But, like, a lot, like, you know, 80% of people's dates fall, like, somewhere in the middle of, like, it wasn't horrible, it wasn't great, I don't have a lot of feelings, but it was fine. And I feel like that can be something in and of itself that can be discouraging about dating, but also, like, not. Like, it's just that's what happens when you're looking for someone you feel romantic about is, like, it's not everyone. Like, not everyone can fall into that category. Yeah.
And I also just, like, you guys learn more about just people. So
yeah.
Found that.
I always found it kind of interesting because I do, like, I am an extrovert in the sense that I guess I wasn't really this weekend, but usually I get energy from being around people. I like being, like, in the world or, like, going out for drinks. I always get shit on because I don't want to eat at home. I want to eat out. Like, there is something fun about having something to do on a weeknight. Like, as much as it's with a stranger, if you can, like, be like, I'm meeting a new person. I'm finding something out about them. I'm trying a new restaurant. I'm trying a new drink. Like, whatever it is.
Yeah.
I don't know. There are ways to look at it positively. I know it's hard out there. But I also feel like, Sarah, just hearing you, it's like you're not going into this with, like, I must find a relationship now. You just had two things you kind of, like, that were more substantial. So it's like, I don't know. Just in thinking of our listeners, like, as much as it's impossible not to have any expectations because we all walk in and go, what if this is, you know, just my soulmate? Or I mean, first of all, I don't know if you can feel that on a first date from an app. I truly don't. But I don't know. Just, like, not having expectations, but, like, enjoying it. I don't know.
Yeah.
Doing my best.
I think it's the best. Yeah, I feel like your attitude going into it is so cool and open. And, yeah, like,
you're open enough to come, like, on this pod.
It's gonna be great. And, like, come back anytime with future dates.
Yes,
we have loved having you, obviously.
Thank you so much. Thank you for letting me ramble.
Oh my God, not at all. Thank you for sharing your date. This is what this pod is all about. I was gonna say, Sarah, what should we shout out from you? I know it's weird with, like, business school students. Oh, do you want people to follow you anywhere?
Sure. You can follow me on Instagram. It's Clyde, SARKLEIN.
Yes.
I'll be in SF this summer if you want to be friends, because I don't have any.
Yeah, we definitely have listeners there. That's fun.
Oh, we definitely do. Yeah, we get notes.
Yeah, or if you want to set Sarah up on a date there, if you know if she's still dating, whatever, or wants to, because she is having a badass internship, and that
for sure. So check Sarah out, become her friend in San Francisco, and we love you guys so much. We already shouted out what you should follow, etc. For us, join the secret Facebook group. Shout us out on your memes. We love you so much, and go on a date.
Go on a date.